The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers who were seated there. He made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple area, along with the sheep and the oxen, and he spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their temples. And to those who sold doves, he said, this is the literal line, get these birds out of here and stop making my father's house into a shopping mall. His disciples recall the words of Scripture, zeal for your house will consume me. At this, the Jews answered, and they said to him, what sign can you show us that you have the right to do this? And Jesus answered and he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. And he did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He understood it well. This is the gospel of the Lord. This is the action that finally gets Jesus killed. After this, they're dead set against him. Now you'd say, why? Well, they set us up for this by the first reading from Exodus, where we have the listing of the Ten Commandments that you're all familiar with. Whenever we have divine proclamation of law and order, what invariably happens is what we would call church and state, or religion and government, start working together, and they operate as one. This is still true in our country to this day. That's why Billy Graham was laid in state. The governmental leaders like to have religion on their side. Makes them think that we're blessing everything they're doing. 2 weeks ago, I was at a meeting in Washington with 19 heads of various denominations. We wrote a statement in which we listed 6 different issues where we felt what Jesus teaches and what our present government is doing are almost exactly the opposite. The issues revolved around racism, nationalism, classism that always favors the rich and the powerful, the terrible lack of any truth in our government, the pushing back against any checks and balances to the power of the president, our constant idealizing of money, war, and power. On every issue, the teaching of Jesus is in direct contradiction to the way our government is operating today. And yet, in many ways, it's always been that way. This shouldn't surprise us. This is nothing new. And this is what we have symbolized in this amazingly prophetic gospel. And of course, unless you know what the temple has become, that it is totally aligned with the king, King Herod, and the collecting of taxes and monies, and now the selling of forgiveness. Whenever religion gets into the business of the buying and selling of God, in any form, even sacrifices that will earn you God's love. And that's what these animals were. The reason I gave you the original Greek, get these birds out of here, because that is what it says, is it's a clue to Jesus' anger. The ordinary people had to sacrifice to be right with the priesthood and the temple, oxen and sheep. But if you were really poor, you were allowed to offer a turtle dove. That's exactly, if you remember the story of Jesus' presentation, what Mary and Joseph had to give. Jesus knows that this religion is not taking care of the poor, it's in fact stealing from the poor and making even the poor give the little they have to feel they have rights with God. Yes, Jesus is angry about this. And many use this passage to justify even violence because it appears Jesus is pretty violent here. But note, he's violent toward things, not toward people. He's liberating animals and trying to liberate the poor from their oppression. And of course, they want to protect the building. It's all about the building, the temple. And what we have in this story is Jesus redefining the temple. That the new temple is the human person. He says, I am the temple. And of course, soon we will learn that we are the body of Christ. So the temple is transferred from any kind of physical building. These are nice. But this is not the church. You are the church. And if your faith would not continue after this building is long gone, then this building means nothing. So we see Jesus making this great revolution of religion from a concern for sacrifice by which we earn God's love to, in fact, trust through which we know God's love. And where does that trust happen? In the human heart. This is where it all happens. So Jesus, to be perfectly honest, and this gospel makes it clear, has little use for external religion. Now I know here we all are. I'm all dressed up. Here we are in the middle of external religion. Because it still gives me a platform to talk this way. It still gives you a place to come to hopefully expand your mind and your heart and your soul. But brothers and sisters, if it isn't achieving that, we might as well cleanse this temple just as he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem. Church buildings mean nothing. It's all about the people. And not just the comfortable people, not just the people on top. But as Jesus makes very clear, especially, maybe most especially, the little people around the edges and the bottom. Finally, you can tell the authenticity of a religion by how it treats the weakest and the poorest among us.